Thank you, Eternal Father, for the privilege to be called by your name. We are grateful, dear Lord, that you have preserved each and every one of us through the thick and the thin. Much water has flown into the sea, has passed under the bridge. We are alive, we are well, we are standing because you parted the Red Sea for us. Thank you, precious Father, for seeing us through the first 4 months of this year. Thank you for making us to see the very fifth month of this year. So many things have happened unexpectedly. Precious Father, you have kept everyone named by your name. You have kept everyone named by our name. Praise, honor, adoration belongs unto you. Thank you for keeping the children. Thank you for keeping the teenagers. Thank you for keeping the youth. Thank you for keeping the elderly. Thank you for keeping the adults. None is missing. Nothing is lost. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. No one deserves the praise but you. And so, Lord, we come before you on this first day of the Lord in this month on behalf of the church, on behalf of every family, on behalf of every individual called by our name in Nigeria and all over the world. We say thank you for the gift of the breath of life. Thank you for the gift of good health. Thank you for the gift of our families. And thank you for your protection through this pandemic. Thank you for keeping and watching over every one of us. We thank you. And we are grateful that our names are written in the book of life. Thank you, dear Lord, that we are children of God. Blessed be your name, Father. At this time, we just ask, what you have in mind, say unto us, for your servants are listening. We thank you, precious Father. Blessed be your name, O God. For in Jesus' precious name we worship. Amen. Want to welcome everyone to this very first day of the Lord in the month of May. I trust the Lord that you are doing good. I trust the Lord that you have testimonies of what the Lord has been doing in your lives, in your families. My prayer is that your testimonies will abide. And when this lockdown is over, we shall all gather to rejoice together in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank everyone that has been working in the front line, the Presidential Task Force, the State Task Force on COVID-19, the medical personnel, the security people, the drivers, the cleaners in the hospitals. We thank God for your lives. We ask as you go out to save the lives of others that God will preserve your life. No life will be lost among you. On behalf of the church, we want to thank every doctor, every nurse, every laboratory scientist, every carer, every ward aide, every cleaner, every driver, every security man, and everyone involved in ensuring that all goes well through this period. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you and members of your families in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we go into today's message, I want you to be prepared at the end of the message. You'll be praying for at least 30 minutes. So just get ready. You'll have prayer points at the end of this message, which I will suggest you put down before we go offline so that you can spend time in your cell, in your family, and if you are alone, wherever you are, to pray on whatever the Lord will be saying to us today. The message that's been put in my heart to share with us today brings to my remembrance what I experienced many, many years ago. I left HSC to go and study accountancy. And because I was a science student, I found accountancy difficult in the first few weeks. Very, very difficult. But aside from God, who helped me? There was one person the Lord used to encourage me and to make me to, I wanted to return and run back to my A-level classes. But I met one man who was one of our lecturers. I think he had just come back from abroad, very friendly, about 40 years old then. And he will write his name on his complimentary card, XYZ, BSc, MSc, FCIS, FCMA, FCCA, FCA, England and Wales, FCA, Nigeria, and he will put etc., etc. As a teenager, I was fascinated. This handsome, friendly, pleasant man has so many degrees that the complimentary card could not contain. He had to end dash, 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 et cetera, et cetera. So I loved the man. And he was the man that truly God used to encourage me that I could stand, that I could stay, that I could study the course. That's why the fact that I had a science background. And all the rest is history. I studied the course, and by the grace of God, the Lord helped me to do well. What am I saying? Many have titles, BSc, MSc, MON, GCON, GCFR, JP. But I want to talk today about a title, which I've decided to term COG. That's the best title I have presently. I may have a number of professional career titles, but I have a title COG. What do I mean by COG? It means child of God. And I'll be speaking this morning on that subject, child of God. Let's turn in our Bibles to the epistle of John and the first chapter. We'll read only one verse, verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse 12. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. I will read again. John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Child of God. My prayer is that if you are already a child of God, you will be encouraged. If you are not yet a child of God, you will become a child of God today in the name of Jesus. When you become born again, something happens to you. You no longer remain just a creature of God. You become a child of God. That's why this passage says, as many as will receive him, as many as will accept Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, as many as will accept the fact that there are sinners and they could not pay for their sins, but someone already paid the price in full by his death on the cross, and that is Jesus. If you accept the substitutionary death of Jesus on your behalf and you receive the pardon he has given you, the Bible says, you have the right. You acquire the right. You acquire the privilege to become a COG. How many children of God, how many COGs are watching me today? You should be proud to be a COG. I have many titles that I no longer use. And one of my favorite titles now is COG. Child of God. When you become a child of God by accepting Jesus as Savior and as Lord, God no longer remains your God.
he becomes your father. You become his child. There are many on earth who can boast of their godfather. Oh, my godfather is the president. My godfather is the governor. My godfather is the minister. I make my boast in God that I have God as my father. Because I am a child of God. Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Two implications of becoming a COG. One, your heavenly father loves you. Your heavenly father loves you. No wonder the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Can you imagine? If you are a parent, somebody who just lives in your neighborhood, you bring him into your house and say, from today, you are my child. That's the type of love God showed to us. By through the death of his son Jesus, bringing us to become children of God. The Bible says he bestowed on us that title. Behold, what manner of love. I read 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. The epistle of John chapter 3 verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. So my dear brother, my dear sister, if you are a COG, if you are a child of God, shows that your heavenly Father loves you. Just like we earthly fathers, earthly mothers, earthly parents love our earthly children. So our heavenly Father loves us. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to take our place on the cross. Oh, we are the apple of God's eyes. As you are seated in your sitting room, whether you're in your bedroom, wherever you are, can you imagine me trying to punch your eye? Can you imagine me trying to punch your eye? Immediately, your eyelid will close. One. Two, involuntarily, as a reflex action, your hand will come to defend your eye. So if the Bible describes us as the apple of God's eye, it means he will never allow anything to hurt us. He loves us so much that he won't allow any evil to befall us. He loves us so much that he will take care of us. If you are a child of God, in times like this, relax. God, your Father, is in control. He loves you so much, you are like the apple of his eyes. He will never allow any evil to befall you. He will preserve you. And you will see the end of this pandemic in the name of the Lord Jesus. However, we all have to take precautions, necessary precautions. We have the government that tells us what we should do, what we should not do. We have the health professionals who have studied viruses, studied epidemics, and have given us advice as what to do, what not to do. It will be in your interest, it will be in my interest to keep to the precautions. Despite the fact that God loves us, despite the fact that we are children of God, we should keep the precautions. No wonder the Bible says, watch and pray. Many years ago, God said to me, my son, sometimes it will be too late for you to pray if you don't watch. That's why I said in my word, watch and pray. I didn't say pray and watch. You need to be watchful so that you can know what to pray for and how to pray. In times like this, it is good for us to be watchful, to take precaution. The health professionals and the government have told us, use face masks when you are outside your home. This is my face mask. I put it off when I was leaving my chair to come to the platform. I try to obey the laws of the government. When I'm outside the home for any reason, I use my face mask. That's one of the recommended actions to take. Oh, you say you are a Christian. I'm covered by the blood. I don't need to take precautions. You are a Christian. When you sleep, do you lock your door? Do you lock the door of your house? Of course you lock the door of your house. Isn't God watching over you? Why do you lock your door? It's reasonable to take human precautions and leave God to do the rest. If we are told to wear face masks, if we are told to do social distancing, if we are told to go out only when it is absolutely necessary, if we are told to obey the laws of hygiene and wash our hands, let us be watchful. Let us take this precaution. Sometimes when I'm washing my hands nowadays, I have a feeling, wouldn't these hands be complaining? Washing hands 20 times a day. Hands, don't be annoyed. It's the government that is asking us to wash hands. In times like this, we should watch and pray. An implication of God being your father, you being a child of God, is that God loves you. Second implication is that you are heir of God, your father. Not only are you his child, you are his heir. I'll read Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Because you are a COG, because you are a child of God, it brings you to the position of heir. Somebody who is entitled to an inheritance from his father. Bible describes us as joint heirs with Christ. It is Jesus, the Son of God. Our belief in him, our accepting him as Savior and as Lord, that brings us into joint heirship. We share with Jesus the position of heir of the Father. So, whatever belongs to the Father belongs to you. I'm happy to announce to you, my brother, my sister, that whatever God owns belongs to you. Whatever God has, you have. Imagine your father being the president of a country, or a multimillionaire, or a billionaire. The children are heirs of whatever belongs unto him. In the same way, if you are a COG, which I'm hoping you are, and if you are not, you are going to become today, I'm happy to announce to you that not only does God your Father love you, God your Father has given you an inheritance. You are heir. Don't forget, the subject on which we are speaking this morning is COG. Child of God. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So if you are a child of God, a COG, let's try to understand God our Father, whom we are children of, whom we are proud to be his children. So I would like to speak on a few, just three major characteristics of God our Father. Major characteristics of God our Father. The first is that God who is your Father, God who is my Father, is omnipresent. Many verses of Psalm 139 states the fact that wherever God is, wherever you can find life, God is there. Verse 7 says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. God, your Father, is omnipresent. What that means is, he's everywhere at the same time. Presently, you are at home. You can't at the same time be with your children in Canada. You are at home. You can't as well be with your spouse who is studying in Europe. You are at home. You may not be physically with your relative in Australia. But God is everywhere at the same time. He knows what's happening to your child in the U.S., knows what's happening to your relative in the UK. He knows what's happening to you at home, what's happening to your home right now if you are not at home. Because God is present everywhere at the same time. So God knows. No wonder the three Hebrew men in the book of Daniel were thrown into fire by the king because they refused to bow. But right there in the fire, God was with them. The Bible said, there appeared to them a fourth man in the fire. God says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. I want to give you an assurance at this time, wherever you are, God is with you. Wherever your loved ones are, God is there. Because the God who is your Father is omnipresent. In Acts chapter 27, there was a time Paul the apostle was arrested and he was judged. They wanted to kill him, but he appealed as a Roman citizen to Caesar. So he was being transported from Israel to Rome so as they can hear his appeal. And they were sailing. There was no plane at that time. They had to go by sea. And there was a lot of storm. For 14 days, they didn't see the sun. Darkness all over the sea. Storm, as if their ship was going to capsize. They started emptying the ship of food and of properties just to lighten so that they can at least save their lives. But one night, in the midst of the storm, God appeared to Paul. He says, Paul writing, or speaking in Acts 27, For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, because you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Everybody was afraid. They went on to compulsory fasting, 14 days without eating, because they were fearing for their life. But God, the omnipresent, appeared, just stood beside Paul to say, my son, do not worry. Do not be afraid. I will be with you. And because of you, I will deliver everyone in this ship. My brother, my sister, it doesn't matter what you are going through at this time, the omnipresent is with you. And he's saying to you today, do not fear. Do not be afraid. So God, whose child you are, is omnipresent. Present everywhere at the same time. Second characteristic is that he is omniscient. God, your Father, is omniscient. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. No one is hidden from him. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Everything, he says, all things, not some things, not a few things, not many things, all things are naked and open to his eyes. Omniscient means God is all-knowing. He knows all things. Nothing is hidden. Many things are hidden from you. Many things are hidden from me. But nothing is hidden from God your Father, whose child you are. He knows the past. He knows everything that has happened to you in the past. Some you don't have an idea. How did I get to this point? How did I find myself in this position? God knows. You may not know because He's omniscient. He is all-knowing. No wonder the children of Israel, they had been in servitude, they had been in bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. They were suffering under every bondage of the Egyptians, their hosts. But in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, God appearing to Moses said, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." God knows everything. He knows what you are passing through. He knows what you have been through. He knows how you got to where you are. Why? Because He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. You remember the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 who met Jesus at the well. And Jesus was asking for her to give Him water to drink. And they started conversing. "Oh, you Jews are so proud. You don't talk to we Samaritans." Jesus said, "If you know who is asking you for water, you will ask and He will give you the water of life. And you will thirst no more." And they started conversing. And Jesus said, "Go and bring your husband." And the woman said, "I have no husband." And Jesus gave her a summary of her life. He said, "What you have said is very true. You have no husband. But you have had 5 husbands. The 6th one you are living with now, you are not properly married to him." He saw a video. She saw a video of her life. Because God is all-knowing, is omniscient. Nothing is hidden from him. Everything is naked and open unto him. That's the God whose child you are. Not only is he aware, or does he know what happened in the past, he knows the present. He knows what is happening right now to you. He knows how you feel. Many will say, "Pastor, I think I have COVID-19. It's not COVID-19, it's fear you have. He knows what is happening inside of you. None of you will have COVID-19 in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord will keep and preserve everyone named by you all through this period. We will end this season. No one shall be missing. Nothing shall be lost in the name of Jesus." Why? Because God knows the present. Many times when Jesus will be talking to the people, what they are thinking, he will say, "I know this is what you are thinking." So God knows your thoughts. He knows what you are thinking. He knows your worries. He knows your sorrows. Not only that, he knows the future. Not only does God, the omniscient, know the past, not only does he know the present, he knows the future. By the time many years before the children of Israel went to captivity in Egypt, he told them, "You'll be going there and you'll spend 400 years. Told them before they were born, he told their great-grandfather, Abraham. So God knows the future. That's why he's called the Ancient of Days, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, and everything in between. And that's the crux of the matter to many, many, many of us today. What has happened this year in Nigeria, in all countries of the world, is unexpected. When we were coming into this year, virtually everyone did not envisage what we will be facing. You wouldn't know that you won't travel. can see many hotels shut, the airports closed, many airlines not flying, airline crew laid off, many staff laid off, 30 million filing for unemployment in the United States of America. That's a country that has statistics. What about other countries? So many things happened unexpectedly. They were not planned for. They just happened suddenly. Also, what is happening presently, largely, is unprecedented. Never in our generation has this been seen, that you won't be able to embrace your loved one because of social distancing, that you treat everyone as a suspect. Does he have corona? Don't move near me. Because it infects so surreptitiously, so silently, so dangerous a virus. It is unprecedented, mainly that right now over 3 million in the world, still counting, have been infected. Right now, over 200,000 people have died all over the world. Unprecedented in its effect and dimension. Not only was it unexpected, not only is it unprecedented, it has brought uncertainties. If I ask you, what will happen to you next year? You don't know. If I ask you, what will happen to you next month? You don't know. So many things are hanging in the balance. So many uncertainties. When will COVID-19 end? When will vaccine be found? When will we be able to return to normal? Some people said it can never be normal again, that it will be a new normal. Only God knows. Many things uncertain. When can I travel again? When can I start to run my business the way I was running my business again? Many events halls are empty. Those who are into rentals, nothing to do in several weeks. So many uncertainties. And do you know what uncertainty does? Uncertainty, it does three things. I would like to explain, because many times we confuse them. The first is that it gives rise to anxiety. And I'm using the word anxiety now guidedly. I know it's a medical term. Psychiatrists will be able to define it differently. But I'm talking generally about worry. There is one question that describes anxiety. What will happen? In other words, what will happen to my child? What will happen to my business? What will happen to the project I'm on? What will happen to my plan to go abroad? What will happen to my plan to do a postgraduate program? What will happen to my marriage plan? What will happen to... What will happen? Anxiety. Because of uncertainty, it graduates from anxiety to fear. F-E-A-R. That is anticipation of pain or danger. Anticipation of pain or danger. Your question has graduated from what will happen to what if it happens. You have now analyzed what could happen, the negatives, and you say, ah! What if the job interview I did and they said I should come and resume? What if they say I should not resume again? What if I'm laid off? What if my admission abroad is canceled? What if I don't get that scholarship? What if? Fear. Somebody has defined fear as false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. What will happen to what if it happens? The final in the progression of uncertainty is what I would like to describe as despondency. You are feeling downcast, disheartened, and hopeless. It is progression. It is a stage of hopelessness. Absolutely no hope. You are no longer asking a question. You are saying, it will surely happen. From what will happen to what if it happens to it will surely happen. You have concluded in your heart that you will lose your job. You have concluded in your heart that that business is going to close up. You have concluded that there is no hope for you again. That's giving up, despondency. It has come because of uncertainty. It has progressed from anxiety to fear to despondency. Many have admission to study abroad. They had booked for visa interview and then no visa interview. And you're supposed to start your studies in 2 months' time. So what will happen? Oh, I'm supposed to graduate. It is when I graduate that I can travel. Am I going to keep that job? Am I returning to my office? If they cut my salary by 40%, what happens to my budget and projections for this year? So many uncertainties. I just took a loan in January to repay every month for this business. I had projected I'll be making this amount every month. Now I've not made one penny, one kobo, $1 in the last 3 months, and interest is mounting. Uncertainties, despondencies. I've just been given an LPO. I was to supply and collect my money, and then there was lockdown. Would the LPO be revalidated? I plan to get married before the end of June. Is it possible any longer? My spouse is outside the country. We had planned that this year, the first half of this year, I will join him or I will join her. Is this still possible? Anxieties, uncertainties concerning health. Suddenly, everybody that is above 50 has become an endangered species. People pray to get old. But now they say, as you get old, COVID-19 is your worst enemy. Run away. So many things challenging us that brings anxiety, that goes to fear, and that eventually results in despondency. Will I survive this pandemic? Will I live to see my loved ones? Will I live to see my children? Will I live to see my grandchildren? So fear has come into many hearts. No wonder that songs. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave of fear, because I am a child of God.
I'm no longer
I'm no longer enslaves, God gives us sonship. You are no longer a slave to fear just because you are a child of God. And your Father is omnipresent. Your Father is omniscient. Not only that, your Father is omnipresent. He's not only omnipresent, he's not only omniscient, he's omnipotent. That is all powerful. That's the third characteristic. He's all powerful. No wonder God boasted by asking a question in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. He said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I'm the God of all flesh. I made all things. I'm omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. Is there anything that you are going through? Is there anything that you desire that you think is too difficult for me? It may be difficult for you. It's not difficult for the omnipotent God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, all things are possible." God, your Father, whose child you are, is not only omnipresent, he's not only omniscient, he's also omnipotent, all powerful. He can do all things. He can do everything. He can do anything. He can do all things. He can do everything. He can do anything. I've seen God turn a debtor to an entrepreneur. The widow of the son of the prophet ran to Elisha. Her husband died in debt, left debt that she could not pay, and the creditor was about taking the children in exchange for the debt. She had lost her husband. She was now going to lose her children. She ran to Elisha. Elisha asked, "What do you have at home?" "Just a little oil." And God performed a miracle. And after which, God said through Elisha to her, "Go and sell the oil. Pay your debt. And live on the rest." In other words, I'm not only going to bless you to pay your debt. What I'm leaving, you become an entrepreneur, a business person that you will work on, live on it for the rest of your life, and hand over to your children. That's the omnipotent God that we serve. He can do all things. He can do everything. He can do anything. There was a time children of Israel were locked down in Egypt. And the only way to escape Egypt was the Red Sea. They should be despondent. All hope should be lost, because even rivers, you cannot pass it. Not to talk of a sea. But God parted the Red Sea for them. What can God not do? Why are you giving room to anxiety? Why are you giving room to fear? Why are you giving room to despondency? Your God is omnipotent. Esther had so many odds against her. She was an orphan. She was a slave. She was in a strange land. And she became queen, first lady. What can God not do? You don't need to fear. Because of uncertainties of what will happen in the future, what will happen next month, what will happen next year. Because you are a child of God. Don't forget, as we round off this message, when we go offline, stay where you are. Whether you are in your hotel, you are at work, you are alone at home or with your family, or in a cell group, there are some prayer points that will be shown that you will pray on. Praying that God, the omnipresent, will reveal himself on your behalf. It will be your mouth wherever you cannot get to. It will be your eye at this time. That God will be at your omniscient God. And He will open your eyes and lead you to act appropriately and on time at this time. Number three, that God, the omnipotent God, will make room for you through the Red Sea to your promised land. And finally, that God will cast away your fear because you have an inheritance as a child of God and heir of the Father. If you don't remember anything, this message, my brother and my sister, if you're a child of God, remember God your Father is omnipresent, is omniscient, is omnipotent. And if you are watching me today from wherever you are, God is not yet your Father. You just know Him as the God of Israel. You know Him as God that people serve. You come to become a child of God by accepting His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And it is through Him you can become a joint heir of the Father. How do I become a child of God? Simple. Accept you are a sinner. Recognize Jesus already died for your sin. Your good works, your philanthropy cannot help you. Invite Jesus into your life to forgive you your sin, to cleanse you, and be the Lord of your life, and to lead you for the rest of your life. That is all. You become a C-O-G. The Bible says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Are you here, my brother, my sister? You want to indeed become my brother and my sister by becoming a joint heir with me of Jesus Christ. And you want to become born again and become a child of God. Can you pray with me? I'll say some prayers and you pray with me. Let's pray. Say after me. Dear God, I appreciate the gift of your Son, Jesus, for me. Today, I recognize I'm a sinner. And I cannot pay for my sin. Jesus, please come into my life. Forgive me. Be my Savior and my Lord. Through your heirship, make me a child of God and keep me to the end. In Jesus' name, I'll pray with you now. Father, I'm grateful for my brother, my sister, who today have joined me to become a joint heir of you, our Heavenly Father. I ask, dear Lord, according to your word, that you forgive them their sins. You wash them with the blood of your Son. Write their name in the book of life. And grant them the right to become children of God. Keep them to the end by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we pray.